This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Over the past several weeks, we've been offering you episodes in our special series called Amazon, the Prime Effect, where we're taking a look at all the ways in which Amazon, a trillion-dollar company, is changing the way we shop, work, and live. And we've been paying especially close attention to the changing ways in which federal regulators are looking at Amazon and other big tech companies like it. Namely in terms of antitrust regulation. Well, I recently spoke with Congressman David Cicilline. He's chair of the House Subcommittee on Antitrust, Commercial, and Administrative Law, and he also represents Rhode Island's 1st District. And we talked to him about how he views big tech companies like Amazon and whether or not he thinks they're a monopoly.
Companies have monopoly power, that they use that power to keep others out of the marketplace, to preference their own goods and services, that disadvantage consumers, that crush small businesses, and that have resulted in a decline in innovation.
So that very House committee that Cicilline chairs just last week passed a package of 6 antitrust bills onto the full House. One gives additional resources to the Justice Department and Federal Trade Commission to enforce antitrust laws. Another prevents big tech platforms from favoring their own products, like Amazon Basics and the Amazon Marketplace. Yet another bill would change rules on mergers to prevent big tech companies from acquiring companies to eliminate competition. So taken together, these 6 bills amount to the most significant update to federal antitrust regulation in a generation. So here is what I asked Congressman Cicilline. If these bills get passed, would that necessitate the breakup of a company like Amazon?
Yes. So the legislation that you're referring to is Ending Platform Monopolies Act. And that basically recognizes that if certain platforms, if you're a covered platform, and that's determined by the market cap value of the company, the number of monthly users, and whether you're a critical trading partner, Amazon clearly meets all 3 parts of that test. And so they would have to make a choice. You can either be the marketplace in which you provide an opportunity to sell goods and services and control and write the rules of the marketplace, or you can be a seller of goods and services, but you can't do both. Because what we learned during the course of the investigation is that Amazon favors its own goods and services, and it's collecting all of this information from its sellers. And then they use that to inform the decisions they make to compete directly with those sellers. And consumers don't know that. They think, oh, this appeared in the buy box. This is some objective analysis that this is the best toaster, when in fact it's a product of some business relationship with the seller or Amazon's own product. That's an irreconcilable conflict of interest. You ought not to be able to do both. And so that piece of legislation would require the breakup of Amazon. Mm.
But, you know, because we've heard repeatedly from Amazon itself, from the corporation, and in fact, I mean, if we're talking about Amazon Marketplace for a second here, in fact, from a lot of sellers who say that their business wouldn't be possible if it weren't for the reach and the services that Amazon provides. And Amazon itself says if they're guilty of anything, it's of being so customer focused that they're providing the best service for those very customers. So why break up the company when what they're able to provide is great service at scale?
This is a classic argument of a monopolist. Geez, we're doing it big, just let us continue to do it. And part of that is because Amazon is doing 2 things at once. It's collecting all of this data that it uses then to inform its decisions it makes to compete directly with those sellers. So nothing would prevent Amazon from continuing to provide all those services to their customers, to be a marketplace. They just can't at the same time be taking that very same information that they're collecting to design and market their own products and promote them in an unfair way. And you would make space for other entrepreneurs and innovators to enter the market to sell those goods and services. So consumers would end up with more choice. And that's why breaking them up is essential if we're serious about restoring competition.
So you are saying that you do think Amazon is a monopoly?
No question.
We're focusing also on Amazon Web Services, which is a fascinating part of this company that just about everyone touches every day if they use the internet, whether they know it or not. Now, in the House report, there was really interesting language around AWS. It said that, quote, Amazon Web Services provides critical infrastructure for many businesses. Can you talk about why that particular language was used?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very similar to what you think in terms of the way we regulate utilities. It's hard to imagine you can conduct business in this country today without the services of Amazon in some way. And so, and be mindful, they are engaged in enormous retrieval and collection of data in every part of this process that puts them at an extreme, gives them an extreme advantage. And so this is just another mechanism to be collecting very useful data from competitors that they then use for the benefit of their own company.
I would think that Amazon would say that for Amazon Web Services, they are not data mining the information that's coming through the client services they host. They might be doing that on Amazon Marketplace, but for AWS, they say that they're absolutely not doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I have very difficult time accepting a representation made by Amazon. They lied to our committee during the investigation, and there was then a Wall Street Journal investigation that proved that unequivocally. So, you know, our investigation found all four of these large technology platforms have enormous market dominance. They are using that in a variety of different ways to exclude rivals, to condition entry into their marketplace by using their goods and services, to acquire competitors and crush them. You know, the collection of data exists in all of these platforms. And so they're allowed to do that because of the monopoly power they have and because Congress hasn't prevented them thus far.
A couple of weeks ago, we spoke with litigator David Boyce. You know him really well. He actually worked for the Justice Department a long time ago when the Justice Department prosecuted Microsoft. And interestingly, he told us that he believes existing antitrust laws are actually sufficient to regulate these big modern tech companies. The problem is that they're just not being enforced properly. But you seem to think that we need a massive update of antitrust laws. So why do that instead of more rigorous enforcement of what's on the books?
Well, look, I think we have to do both. But the truth is our antitrust laws were written a generation ago and haven't really been updated or modernized to meet the 21st century economy. So there are tools that are available. We've had a number of court decisions that have improperly narrowed antitrust enforcement and really turned it on its head. They've made it much more difficult for antitrust enforcers to do their work. So I think we've got to update and modernize statutes. We have to be sure our antitrust agencies have the resources they need to properly enforce antitrust. And then we have to be sure that those that are leading the antitrust work at the Department of Justice and the FTC are sufficiently enthusiastic and creative about competition policy. I'm excited. We have folks like Tim Wu on the National Economic Council. We have Lina Khan chairing the FTC. These are people who understand what the monopoly power of these large platforms means. But we also need to update our statutes.
But it seems as if some of the most recent concern about the bills are coming from your fellow Democrats, particularly California lawmakers who are concerned about the economic impact that antitrust actions on these big tech companies would have on their districts. I mean, what would you say to them?
Well, I mean, the whole purpose of competition, the reason we have as a country been so determined and insistent on protecting competition is because we all recognize that with competition, you get more innovation, more entrepreneurship, new ideas, more jobs, more companies. And that's the whole idea. And so I recognize there are some people who think this will have some short-term harm to a company in my district. I don't actually think that's true. I think if you talk to people at Microsoft, they would tell you that they are a better company today as a result of the antitrust investigation and action that, the federal government undertook. I think what I would say to my colleagues is, competition is good for the economy. It's good for companies. It's good for small businesses, entrepreneurs. More competition brings more innovation and more jobs. And the idea of protecting these big, large monopolies as a way to protect jobs is, I think, short-sighted. The best way we can ensure that we continue to grow jobs in this sector and in this country is by restoring competition in the digital marketplace so we can make space for the next great Google or Facebook or Amazon that can compete successfully. But as long as these monopolies exist, they make no room for the next innovator, the next great American company. That's bad for the country. It's bad for our economy. And it's ultimately going to be bad for their district.
Congressman David Cicilline is chair of the House Subcommittee on Antitrust, Commercial and Administrative Law. He represents Rhode Island's first. Thank you so much, Congressman.
My pleasure. Good being with you.
We spoke with Congressman Cicilline as part of our ongoing series, Amazon, The Prime Effect. Do check out our other episodes in your podcast feed. And if you haven't already, tap to subscribe. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.